I make myself be responsible for the people. It is the most important part of any business. So why would I pass that on as the CEO? So a CEO should do three things: people, culture, and numbers.
If you have over $200,000 sitting stagnant in your bank, retirement account, or home equity, then you're literally losing money. On this show, you learn how to get that money working for you consistently and conservatively. Learn to grow your nest egg with your host, Sean Winslow. Let's dive in.
Hey, Corey, welcome back to the show, my friend.
Oh, man, excited to be here, Sean.
Man, I'm excited. We were just talking. This is the 200th episode, and it just feels right. For listeners who've heard me on other podcasts, I talk about how I wanted to find a mentor that my values aligned. He was living the life I wanted to live. And I talk about writing a letter to this individual, a handwritten letter, and then he calls me and then we meet. That's this individual, Corey Peterson. So it's special to have you on 200th episode, Corey. So I don't want to take too much time. So if you don't mind, you've been on the show already, but just giving a quick update, who's Corey Peterson? What does he do and how you got there?
Yeah, first of all, congratulations on all your growth, bro. I watched you from the very beginning to where you're at now, and it is amazing what you've done, what you've accomplished. So very much kudos to you. Success doesn't happen by accident. It happens by choice. And you made the choice to do the work and what was required to be massively successful. So I'm very proud of you for that.
Thank you.
So for us, I mean, like, I know we've been on the show before, but like, we started off as a single family fix and flip company, and that we realized the problems with that. It's not scalable. And so this was in 2005. We started our company. 2011, we made the shift. We started buying and realized that multifamily was the way to go. So we made a strategic decision to change in 2011. And that's really all we've been doing ever since. So now we own about $250 million of commercial real estate. It's really 10 active projects right now. And it's been a crazy journey, and especially market cycles. Now we've been through a couple different market cycles, and you learn lessons on each one. And so there's new lessons that we're still learning even today that's made us do some changes. It was doing some things that I said I would never do, Sean, and that is enter the world of property management. So 2023, we vertically integrated. We took all our property management and we brought it in-house.
You used to say you'd never do this. What changed?
My situations, right? So I got tired of being ticked off, to say it nicely, right? I got tired of being disappointed in the outcome of what we were looking for. As you're asset managing these assets, you're trying to make sure your wheel is being followed. And there just was a yin and yang to our property management companies. And we tried two or three times with two or three different property management companies to really get it. And the problem is our loyalties do not align. I didn't really realize what that really meant until I really separated completely and broke off. And meaning in third-party property management, Sean, they are fee-based, meaning they don't really care what the NOI does.
Yeah,
it does not affect the third-party property management company. What they really want is the income and the monies you're going to provide through management fees and how much they collect in the rents, plus other fees that they don't tell you about, but they tack on. And so they try to get as many of those things added, at least what we've seen, no matter what company we use. Some were a little bit better than others, but it was always about what we found we didn't have any control of was the people and the culture. And Sean, I'll tell you this, the one thing that I've learned in doing business, just as an entrepreneur, forget about real estate, is people will make you or break you, right? And having the right people can make you millions, and having the wrong people can lose you millions. And so when I looked at the way property management companies were hiring and their process for bringing in the right people and the way they did it, it was horrible. It was absolutely horrible. And no matter what company did it, and I think there's good and bad, but there's just way more ugly. And so we made a conscious decision to take all this stuff in-house. And I would say there's some good, bad, and ugly of that whole entire process. Yeah, we have a deal together. So we experienced this together as well, right?
Yeah, I'd love to hear all of that. And some of it I know because I've experienced it too. I guess once you get to any threshold of pain, and then I think you just get to the point where enough is enough. And to your point, the hiring definitely was a big problem. And so was the oversight. They would just fill that position just to say they did it. And then there would be no significant training or oversight. That's what I've experienced, and no accountability. So Corey is taking on property management. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. So there's some good, bad. Let me start with the good, and then I'm going to talk about the challenges, right? So The one thing that we realized once we did it immediately, I mean, the first month, our expenses changed radically. I mean, radically. And the reason for that is now we have my regionals approving expenditures, right? And what used to be, I'm going to go hire this or I'm going to third party that. I mean, you know, we're like, no. Use your maintenance guy. Get this done. Do that. No, find a better bid. So we started saying no and spanky to all the kids, right? Now, some of these kids, some of our people that we've ended up losing them. And for rightful reason, because they did not want to be engaged in the process of these properties are multi-million dollar businesses that sit on your sites. And these property managers, I don't think they realize they're managing multi-million dollar assets. And so with that is a P&L, a profit and loss. And so our biggest thing, yeah, we first looked at, we analyzed a lot of the people came over, but it doesn't mean that they were all the right ones. And so we just now going through our second rendition of washing the people, right? Because they got to have the core values that we have. And we find that they have the right core values and they're synced into the vision of let's act like the money was ours and it's in your bank account. Right. And do we need to spend that money or should we hold on to it? And if it was your money, would you spend it? So we started accountability to the NOI, net operating income. When we really started watching that and started doing variance reports and holding these managers to the budgets, magical things started to happen. And we started to become instantly more profitable. Right. And I will also tell you this, there is a lot of extra erroneous and crazy ass fees that you don't talk about or they don't talk about property management company. Like they all have Office 360 on every individual that's in that office, right? Now, give you an example. What we did is we created one Office 360 account to a main email for the property. And then every terminal has to log in for Office 360 on every computer. And so we're paying for one Office 365 instead of seven.
Yep.
Right. Little things like that. Looking at our Ring or the phone bills, we're like on one property, we're spending like $250 in phone bills. Why? Let's go get a Ring Central account and it'll do everything we need. And those are like, I don't know, $100, a little less than $100. And you get a couple different lines. Easy. Right. Check like that we're saving money there. And then what's really funny is like payroll. So in a lot of payroll companies, they add a bunch of fees and to their payroll, they're not disclosed, but they're there. And I think they pay for the most expensive type of coverage insurance and everything because they pass it on to us, the owner. And so like workman's comp insurance and things like that is what I'm talking about, Sean. And just by having the same people, same hours, same pay, my payroll magically went down like thousands of dollars on some properties. And I was like, well, and I already knew this was the case because I already saw where like their workmen's, I'm like, how come the workmen's comp seems like this is in stratosphere level? Well, that's just what it is. That's just what it is, Corey. No, it's not, right? That's a profit center for them. They were probably getting a bill back or something, having it charged in there, but they're getting a kickback from their company, right? And then you talk about insurance, like property management companies, not only the fees, but they also make money on renter's insurance, by the way, right? So they'll charge your tenants $12.95 and they'll probably get the insurance at $5 and they charge you $7 and they let you make $3 or $4 profit as well. And so they're making money on the whole process. And so now we are. So we just kind of took over that little process to our properties. So at the end of the day, what it really allowed us to do is to take a process that was not really gained from the third-party side to our benefit, right? Because we're not aligned in NOI. And if NOI, if you're aligned truly in NOI, not total income, right? So most property management companies get paid on total income that they collect, not on the NOI. If it was based on the NOI, things would radically change, radically. Right? They would be way more efficient, you'd think, because they would start, do we need to spend that? Instead of just spending like crazy. And so the moment we took over and we preached that thing, profitability was out. And I'll give you an example, real world example. Last year, last August, that's turn season for my student housing portfolio, meaning we are moving everybody out and then moving everybody in about a 3-week period of time. And so I just looked at payroll. So payroll last year for one of those properties, Carolina Creek in North Carolina, $70,000 was the salaries and related expenditure for that month in the month of August. Okay. Now that's crazy because this property normally was spending around $35,000. Now we've taken over and we cleaned up and added the right people and subtracted the wrong people. Our payroll for just August is probably going to be around $35,000. And next month, it'll be around 24. 24 is our now new average, right? And so it is like night and day. And that's just on the payroll side. If I was to show you the expenditure side, like the CapEx, what they did for turn and what we spent this year, it is fractions. It's probably maybe a fourth of what they spent last year. So how do we achieve that? Well, we started doing things that most property management companies would want to take on or didn't have the guts to take it on, right? So like cleaning of units, right? Getting in and cleaning these units as people move out, you got to clean them. Well, we hired a bunch of CAs. CAs are a great way to say students that live on the property, right? And we hired them part-time to come in and their job is like, listen, you're the cleaning crew, right? As people leave in June, July, eventually August, right? We started getting into units way early and doing the work, cleaning the units, right? And that in itself, my last property management company, I'm not going to say who they are. We got a vendor lined up to do all the work and $40, it's like it's super expensive. Yet we were just able to hire some part-time kids and give them the tools and like go out there and clean. And they did it without any bitching or fussing or moaning. They're happy to have a job, a little part-time gig, right? And it's amazing. But like, those are just lots of little things. Like, how can we do this? They became painters, right? Like, we're like, okay, instead of hiring a painter to paint all this whole wall, which really needs about four spots touched up and some spackle, you know, put in the plug, the nail hole, right? And then a little paint. We just taught them how to do it. So now they become cleaners/painters, right? /carpet cleaners. Made sure we had the right carpet cleaner. So they shampoo the carpets too. So it's like 3-in-1. And so, I mean, we just saved so much money. And what we did without knowing it is we set the new standard. I was like, because we went into this year saying we don't have a whole lot of money. We're going to have to get it and really be economical. And we did such a good job. I'm like, we will do it like this every year from here on out. This is the standard always. And so we just created the new way, the Kahuna way, which is like, hey, we're all going to get our hands dirty. We're all going to work. If you're not down with that, hit the front door, my friend, because you're not Kahuna. This is how we do it. And it's all about understanding like belief. Once they understand that's how it's done, no one bitches or complains. It's when if you hire someone from another property management company that does spends money like it's water, well, this is the way it's supposed to be done. Like, are you kidding me? No, we'd never do it that way.
Hold that thought on culture for a second. First, I just want to kind of hit on some key points you mentioned. I think the biggest thing, incentives aren't aligned specifically to the NOI. When they're getting paid off gross revenue, they're not going to be creative on how to save Corey money, right? They're not going to think outside of the box. They're just not going to do it. They're going to hit the easy button, which happens to be the fee button, right? The more money.
Yeah.
So I think it's important for anyone listening who is running any type of business to get incentives aligned, and it'll make a world of difference.
Yeah. Now, listen, I'm not saying everybody should go all of a sudden start property management. Like, it's a lot of work. And the question is, what I would ask myself now is like, when do you vertically integrate? Because if you look at any large company, they eventually do. And so the answer to that question, in my opinion, is when you can pay for it. Meaning, how many units do you have to be able to afford a regional, an accounting team? Because not only did we take over the responsibility of managing the properties, we also took over the responsibility of managing the county. So we had to have a whole accounting silo, and that built. The great thing about it is when we turned on the switch, we already had the income from it, right? We knew that we could get the income to hire the people to afford the structure. So we already knew that we would be able to be profitable. And like, this is not a huge profit center for Corey, right? But it's more about control. But now it's becoming a profit center because I'm saving the property money. I'm making enough money to pay for people.
Right.
In my property management company side of things, right? And so that was my whole vision. I take a small salary from it, like $70,000 or $80,000. It's not a whole lot of money to be making, but I do take a salary. But most of it buys people and my team. And we're going to keep investing in that because that's given us a really multiplier. Because when you look at the numbers that we're making, plus put that to an NOI, it's $1 million difference.
Let's talk about that. You hear all over the place, can't hire good people, can't get good employees to work. So how are you doing it? How are you finding talented people to come work for you? And how are you getting to buy into the Kahuna culture?
All right. So that's a great question, by the way. And I'm going to start with a book. This is going to be, I am not that smart, promise you. Okay. But I am a master, and I'm talking Wudan Ninja level 10 copier. Or I like to say modeling.
Modeling, right?
Modeling's a nicer word, right? But I can model success like no other. And so I've got this book called A CEO Does Three Things by Trey Taylor. And in that book, he describes a hiring process that I fundamentally use on everything. Mm-hmm. And what it's done is it's a way to introduce, and the interview number one is all about culture and your core values. And so you bring that. So in other words, in that first interview, I do 90% of the talking. So to do that, we had to do a little bit of framework, and we already kind of had it. Like, we added some things to really make it. So we already had our core values. But what we needed was the stories behind our core values, actual real examples of people in our company that have done those core values, and to show it very cut and dry of what we look like. So I'll give you an example. One of the core values, integrity, right? And so we're like doing the right thing because it's the right thing to do. And I said, oh, no, I'm sorry. This is my people focus. So one of our core values, people. And really, we're talking about our core people, but it'll zoom out. I'll share this example is that my controller, Devon, she cares, right? She wants to get things done right. She likes it perfection because she's a controller. She wants everything lined up exactly. And so we had Syndication Pro. We brought on that as a new software. We're going to make our testing the first distribution to make on that portal. And of course, we set it up to go out on a Friday, which is never a good idea, my friends. Don't ever do a thing on a Friday. Of course, we do it on Friday and it glitches. It doesn't work properly. We screwed up somehow. And so Saturday, Devon's calling me. She's like, Corey, I'm on the phone with Syndication Pro. I think I know what's wrong. I'm going to fix it. Monday, by golly, Monday, those payments are going to go out, right? We kind of try to work Monday through Friday. So here's a Saturday, my controller, highly paid, working, solving a problem because she's people focused. She wants to make sure our people, our investors, get the money. Mm-hmm. And so burning midnight oil to get it, I call it midnight oil, but she's like, she's working and she ain't getting paid for it, right? Part of her salary, her job description, but she's doing it and she's doing it happily. She's like, I got this, like that type of way. And so then I tell that story. I said, like, so that's who we are, right? Because people is our focus. Occasionally you may have to work on a Saturday or late or early. And so my question is, you, would you be like Devon and willing to jump in if you had to? I am calling the question.
Yep.
And I want them to say yes. I want them to be like, that's part of our culture, is like, we try to work Monday through Friday, but sometimes you got to roll up your sleeve and you might have to jump in. And if you needed help, the whole team would jump in on a Saturday to help you as well. Right. And so that is our culture. That's what it means. And I give them those real tangible examples all throughout my stories. And that's showing them that not as just a bunch, it's not just your core values of words, but there's a lot of action built behind it.
Yep. Have you ever had anyone say no, that they wouldn't come in?
No.
Okay.
As we go through this whole process, right?
Yeah.
We call these the kind attitudes. I stole that straight from Trey's book, See It As Three Things. He has the Beatitudes, right? The Bible has the Beatitudes. And so he created his own company attitudes, like that he calls the Beatitudes. We created ours because we're Kahuna. We have the kind attitudes because we want to be the kind. But these are Hawaiian pidgin words like Yivam, bro, right? That's like go for it, full send, spread aloha, be ohana, right? Lilo and Stitch, The Rock said, you know, family, no one gets left behind. This is our work family. We take care of our work family, right? And then our favorites, we make it Mobetta. We're always working on ourselves. We'll always be a work in progress. And we know that. And so when people start to hear, that's what culture looks and feels like, by the way. We're describing it and we're putting it in a tangible setting that people want this. They want, no one wants just to work and make a wage. They want to work and make a difference. So we put words to it. We describe it. We show them that it's real, that is tangible. And then we invite them to come along the journey with us, right? Getting ready to make an offer of somebody. So like our family, we treat our business like an orchard. Right? When you come into the orchard, right? People look at the orchard like, oh, this is nice. And some people come into the orchard and they just want to pick the fruit, right?
Yeah.
We're not looking for pickers, right? Like the fruit's there for all of us to enjoy for sure. But we need people to look at our orchard, our family, or say, I need to add another row of fruit trees. Let me plant. Let me harvest. Let me get in there and kind of build and prove the garden and make it yield more bountiful, right? Again, these are just visual descriptions, but when we tell these stories, people understand, they see it. They understand that now we're talking culture. And that goes so much farther than saying, here's the job and here's your job description. Can you do it?
Yeah, no, totally. I think that's what most people do. That's why they have trouble, right? So what's meeting number two look like? Meeting number one was you talking 90% of the time about Kahuna and its culture.
Culture, yep. Second is your capabilities. So that's more of an official interview, right?
Okay.
Now, here's the other thing. I may, for when I'm hiring my corporate level team, right? As the CEO, I'm responsible for this. I make myself be responsible for the people. It is the most important part of any business. So why would I pass that on as the CEO? So a CEO should do three things: people, culture, and numbers.
Yep.
And so that's what I do. People, I want to be involved in my hiring process. Now, on the site level for property managers, I put my regionals in charge, or actually not my regional, but my COO, my management company, she's in charge of that. In other words, she's going to share the same story and her examples of how it works in that field, but we're all aligned in that same process, right? Because I can't do it all, but I need to be able to delegate. But for my C-level suite, all my regionals and people that really matter, I'm involved in that 100%. I'm making all those key decisions. And I usually get involved even in the property manager side of things, right? So I'm usually involved in that process because I want to put my touch on it. Right. I want them to see that the CEO is spending time to get in front of them.
Yeah. That you care.
Yeah. Well, and then what that does is it makes them loyal because, like, you want to get people to buy in. And when you get them to buy in and when they start bleeding Kahuna red, man, something magical happens. Right. And like, because 1 + 1 doesn't equal 2 in that situation, it equals 25. And so that's the yield that we're looking for, is people to improve the garden and do things that we didn't even think that they could do and they want to. So, second one is capabilities. That's just a normal traditional interview, but it's usually done with my maintenance. Now, the first one is homework. Like, we have homework on every interview, by the way, right? So every time they do an interview with us, there's some homework. And the first homework on the first interview is to have them us and describe what award-winning culture looks and feels like to them. So I was like, I share with you what I think it is and what our company's. I want you to do it. And so what am I really looking for? A, I'm looking for how quickly do they call me back?
Yeah.
I'm looking at, did they write a short sentence, a bigger sentence? Is it descriptive? How do they write? That's kind of a little intelligence piece of, are they descriptive?
ChatGPT.
Yeah. If they're smart, they'd use ChatGPT, right? And I would be okay with that because that would show me that's innovative, right?
Right.
But I really am looking at, because they have to write reports. If they're a property manager, I want to see, what do they write? What are their writing skills, right?
Yeah.
And then the second interview, it's about referrals, right? I'm asking for, I need 3 or 4 people, but I don't just need referrals. I need a referral and a story to ask that referral. Then that's huge, right? By the way, Sean. So in other words, I recommend Daryl. Daryl asked about the time that we went to this training and I took over or something, right? Like that way, when I called Daryl, I'm like, hey, Daryl, Cheryl's looking to, well, she told me to ask you about this time that you guys went to this meeting and whatever. He's like, oh, yeah. He recalls the memory. And then that's a so much better open than, hey, Daryl, Cheryl's looking to work for me. I just wanted to see, get your feedback. There's no excitement. There's no nothing, right?
Right.
So this leads into much better conversations about who that person is at work. I get so much more meat from that. And it confirms we're in the right spot or not.
Right. It can confirms if their words align with their actions.
And really, that's how they move on. There's 4 steps into this. So it's culture, capability, compensation, and commitment. And so the third interview is just really about compensation, right? And we do it a little differently. We actually have them give us their compensation package. We don't give it to them. There's a process for that. But like, we usually say things like, we put a range of what we're looking for. So there's more than just money, wage. There's time off. There's this, there's that, right? So we kind of go over a little bit of different schedule. And, say, and their homework is to give me their compensation package that I can accept immediately without any negotiation.
That's really smart, because some people are just motivated and incentivized by different things. Some people it's money, some people it's time off, holidays, whatever it happens to be.
This one person, I want remote work.
Yeah.
Right. So we just hired a staff accountant and she wanted to work from home. We're like, fine, love it. You do the work, we don't care. Right. We've got Devon's, my controller is virtual. So like accounting can be done virtually as long as you've got it set up and you don't mind working, get it done.
Yeah, it's just also smart too, because they're essentially buying in because it's what they're presenting to you. So there can't be like any questioning.
This is what they wanted. Yeah, yeah. It's not what I want. It's what they wanted.
Yeah.
I'm giving them the perfect job environment.
Yep. I like that.
Yeah. And then the last one is just commitment. Normally, when we do this, we're going to have them come to the office and we try to bring them, have them bring their spouse or their significant other to really talk about some of the commitments that they're making to us. And then also, I'm going to give them the commitments we're making to them, is to create a job that's going to foster productivity, innovation, and pay you on time. Here's what you say you're going to do for me, do for us. And it's important for us to meet your spouse, because this, you're coming into our family. We want to know who you are. We want to know you care. Normally, if it's an out-of-town guest, we'll go out and take them in the Jeeps.
Yeah.
If we're hiring someone from out of town, we're going to fly them in and their spouse to do this.
That's really nice.
Yeah.
Because I know them, your core values, right? It's about family, fostering family, and
yeah,
and just being a team.
So it all works. And so a lot of these lessons, so this is readers or leaders, guys. If it wasn't for me reading good books and meeting and networking and finding people, listening to podcasts like Sean's, all these things contribute to your greater good, which gives you more information. And if you ever want to be successful in a certain spot, you're not there yet, go hang around people that are already doing it. And so that's kind of my recipe.
Yeah.
Is when I say copy your way to success, that's really all I've done is found good people that were worth copying and modeled it.
And modeled it to fit you and perfected it where you can.
Yeah.
I think that's, any great leader does that. Yeah. And guys, if you haven't checked out Corey's podcast too, he just referenced mine, but you should definitely check out his Multifamily Legacy podcast. We'll link it in the show notes. One of my faves out there for sure. I know I'm a little biased, but it's a great show. So check it out. This is a question I want to ask, because going into this, you've obviously never vertically integrated before, obviously. So what's been tough and what kind of surprised you that you didn't see coming?
Oh, yeah. I didn't go to the Bad and Ugly. Yeah. So the Bad and Ugly was,
yeah,
I thought more people were going to come on board.
Oh, from the PM.
Yeah, because they're their employees, right? So we're asking them to come over. And a lot of them said they were.
Right.
Until they weren't. So I was like, oh, we didn't expect that. Now, it wasn't a lot, but it was a handful. There was a moment we're chasing the dog a little bit and we got through it. We hired people quickly. And what's funny, in some of these markets where they would take them months to hire somebody, we did it in weeks, right?
Yep.
And because more efficient work, we could respond quickly. We answered the ad and calls to the ad quickly and responsive. And then we did do our system, which leads to finding great people. So that was one of the hurdles. The other hurdle was just never as fast as you'd like or as smooth as you like. So the first time we have to go get management software. So we used Entrata. I don't know the inner workings of Entrata.
Right.
And so that was a learning curve. Devon, my controller, and Candy Dalton, my COO for Kahuna Management. Those are true warriors, because they did the brunt of it, because I still don't know the software, but they do. And they had to learn it and go through all these trainings. And oh my God, it was just so much. And we brought one big wave in, and then we did a second wave, and the second wave was easier. And then we just did our last property, our property, Warner Robins. We did that one last week and it went so smooth. We were like, oh my God, we're in and out. Like, it was magic.
It's only going to get better, right?
Yeah. And so those first ones, it took a lot more work and a lot more time and trying to get all the kinks out of even permissions for the software. Like, what permissions does the property manager have versus the leasing agent versus the CA at the property? There's just a lot of little twigs and tweaks and things like that. Payroll wasn't so bad. Like, we actually did really well. We found a third party. It was called PSE. America's back office, ABO.com. They helped us with adding payroll really easily and benefits and all that stuff. So now we have 401k. We used to use Gusto.com for Kahuna Investments, and we moved everything to ABO's platform. And we have an amazing insurance package. So I have insurance. All my staff members have insurance, and it's really cool. So we professional great. And it just kind of came out of the box and it was like, wow.
You wouldn't have found that, right? If you didn't vertically integrate. So
yeah, exactly. So, and then some of the other, I would say, I'm trying to think of something that's really went bad that was happening. I'm just thinking of some of the things that were bad were just what we already knew was going to be bad. When people, you know, they're not the right people, you should immediately start to look for the replacement immediately. We didn't do that. On a couple properties, we knew that we had some bad apples, but we're like, let's get through turn, right? In other words, let's move everybody in, move everybody out. and then we'll make a decision and get a new person. Well, what happens is once you go through turn, these people don't work out. It's like magic. But everyone that we had problems with somehow quit during this process and left us high and dry. Now, luckily, we had some great people that we built this now in our system that we have people that are tops or traveling operations people now, right? So if they get called and get tapped, they're going to be getting in their car or getting on a plane and going to a property and babysitting it.
Yeah.
We've built that out too. So like we are now in a much better place, but that was some of the initial struggles was just making it all work. The county side has always been a pretty decent experience. It's had its ups and downs, but the migration was a little bit difficult on the first couple of properties. But once we kind of got that smoothed out, it became a lot easier and simpler.
Yeah, from the accounting standpoint, one, how big of a team do you have and how big of a team would you like to have if it's not the right size? What do you think?
So we have a controller, a staff accountant that handles 8 properties, right? And yep. We have now an accounts payable person.
Okay.
So right now, accounts payable is being done at the properties, but we are bringing off their hands and bringing it into our corporate office. And the reason for that is property managers are people managers more so, and we want them with their heads up. And we don't want them to do accounting or bill pay stuff, right?
Smart, yeah.
They're usually not that efficient at it. And then you have 7 different people doing it 7 different ways, not understanding chart of accounts that well. They're not very accurate. They make a lot of mistakes. They're prone to make a lot of mistakes. So by having one person in our home office that understands our chart of accounts, we have the same chart of accounts on all properties, and understands the way, we get a much cleaner, we're not initiated, this is coming. This is probably 2 months away from us pulling the full trigger, but man, it'll really improve the process. Now, once we take that away from the property managers, the next piece that we're making sure that they're being responsible for is portal adoption. So our goal is to have about a 99% portal adoption, meaning everybody that's on there is going and has their accounts, either ACH or a credit card on file to pay their rent. Mm-hmm. And dude, that's gold. You shouldn't have a bunch of people coming in and giving you checks.
Nope.
That's old school.
Yeah.
But yet people do it. And they're doing it at our properties now. We're probably about 75% portal adoption. That's not enough. We want it all, right? So one of the ways we're going to do that is we're taking these check scanners that are at each properties. After we kind of get the AP done, the next thing to go is the check scanners. We're taking that away. And if they want to pay by check, they have to mail it to corporate, to my office. And we're going to train the manager to say, or let me help you get on the portal.
Is the portal through Entrata?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's built in. But like the thing with that portal is like, let's say on the first, they don't have the money in the portal. It's going to try on the second. It's going to try on the third. It's going to try like 4 or 5 times to get that money. That's your collections department.
And then automatically charges them a fee, right?
If it goes past a certain date, it will.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Goes in their ledger. But again, it'll save the property and you don't want a high AR, accounts receivable. So this is going to help solve that problem.
Yeah, that's essentially accounts receivable, just automated. So,
amen, right?
Yeah.
And if you think about it too, how much time does it take to actually take a check? Because we just don't take checks at our properties. You've got to stand up. You got to say, hey, John, how you doing? Like you come in the office, we better be meeting and greeting and smiling or having some conversation. So that's how we want to do it. But that can be very disruptive. But it has to be because that's our process.
Right.
Right. So I would much rather come to the office that's not coming to check. They've got probably a real issue. That's what we want to address. And we just want to go get that money. And honestly, people are honest. They don't want to come to the office to give a check anyways.
No. Yeah. That's just an extra step they have to do.
Once they get it set up, they're like, oh, that was so awesome. I'm glad I did that.
There's only one reason they want to do that. And that's because they're...
They got no money.
Yeah, they're not going to pay. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's funny how that works.
Right? Well, talking about, you just mentioned you want them coming in to actually like they have a problem so we can take care of it, right? How has that transition been for you? Because I think that's one of the most important and also overlooked things, property management and just managing, operating multifamily is getting work orders is done as fast as possible.
Yeah, work orders are still a priority and they're still a problem, right? So that's something that we're tackling that now. We just actually promoted one of our best maintenance supervisors to director of maintenance.
Oh, nice.
And really, because he has the knowledge base and the skill set, and he's went to several properties to help out. And he's like, oh my gosh, they need to do this. They didn't have their shed organized. And he's like, this is not right. This is going to cost you money. And so we haven't promoted him yet. So hopefully he's not listening to this, but we didn't say his name.
That'd be cool if he was.
But he's going to get promoted and we're going to make him a leader of men, right?
Yeah.
And so, because when you have the right maintenance director, that has been there, done that, you can't hide from them.
Right.
You know what I mean? You can't say some bullcrap. Sorry, I didn't mean to cuss on your podcast. Some bullcrap. Property managers may buy, but maintenance directors like, dude, no, I'm not buying that crap.
Right. It's important to have systems, but it's even more important to have people trained on them, right? They're pointless if they're not trained. Yeah. And to have a guy like that be able to train them, that's...
And the next step that we're doing is, like, we've come to this thing without any SOPs, really, right? Mm-hmm. So our next step is start building manuals for each position, training manuals, right? We want it the Kahuna way. We call it we want it done the Kahuna way. And so we've got to create the Kahuna way in a training manual for each position. So you can open up that manual and see kind of what all the activities that you would be doing and figure it out and have a way to, like, oh, okay, that's what I'm supposed to do. That's how we do it.
Yeah. There's no second guessing, no questioning. It's right there. That's what we agreed upon.
Yep.
Love it. We're coming up near the top of the hour. This has been awesome. Act tactical value. Some people come on, and obviously not point anyone out, but some people come on and they just talk the fluff, right? And sing the praise. But this is actual stuff that people can take and put to use. So appreciate you as always.
I'm coming on your 200th, man. I got to bring it, right?
You got to bring the fire, right? Bring the heat.
Yeah. I got to give you some actionable stuff. I give a couple of different, really some great nuggets that hopefully can help move some people's mountains and change the game, because it has mine. And I'm telling you, who am I? I'm nobody, but I have great dreams and great goals. And the truth is, I want to build an award-winning company that is a light, because in the darkness, there's a lot of darkness out there. And there's a lot of property management companies that don't do it right. And we want to be the best in class. Mm-hmm. And to do that, it comes with a vision, and then all the things that come by it. And my team is the one driving this, not me. I mean, I'm the visionary, but it's the people behind me, that my core group and team, they want it too. They want to be Kahuna. They want us to be world class, and they demand it. And when you see that happen, Sean, it is so freaking cool. It makes my heart get big and makes me full of joy and happiness that we're creating something that's going to live long after I'm gone.
Yeah. And you're improving people's lives too, right?
All the same time.
And it's not even just from a compensation standpoint. I think it's more from, like, a fulfillment standpoint too. They're actually doing something they're, like you mentioned, proud to be part of. To me,
people want to be a part of something bigger than themselves, yep. Sean. You got to give them that opportunity to think and to put their ideas in drive and to percolate it a little bit.
Yeah. I love it.
That's what I found. People will surprise you if you let them.
What's the future hold for Kahuna?
Man, my future is to do a lot more of the same, but I'm going to build a family office. That's what we're doing, right? We're going to build it to eventually where we'll no longer take investors' capital, and that we'll only do deals with our own money, and build a company that we control inside and out, and that we can reward and spread the love to our team members and their families, and create a way to give them some upside of the deals that we do, right? So our key people, that's what we're working on building now, is a way, kind of profit sharing for them, that they get a piece of the pie too. And so I think that's another part of my dream, is to find a way to give everybody a little bit of what I've experienced, which is my sunsets and palm trees life. And the vehicle is real estate. And so I want everybody on the boat with paddle.
Love it. Well, maybe you can come back for episode 500 and you'll be there and you can share some more wisdom.
We're trying to get there sooner than later, my friend.
Maybe 300, episode 300.
Awesome.
But Corey, before I let you go, where can people find you?
Sean, I would love to give everybody a copy of my book. This is a book called Copy Your Way to Success, Standing on the Shoulders of Giants. And you can get that book by texting the word book to 480-500-1127. So text the word book to 480-500-1127. We'll give you a copy for free. My team will ship it out to you. And all I ask is that you read the first chapter. Right? The first chapter may change your life. I know it did mine, but there's a lot of good nuggets in that book. It's really about the journey. It's my hero's journey. And some of you may need to be motivated, because what I believe is the biggest thing that we have that we don't always use is the thing that's in between our two ears. It's our brain. And most people are in park, Sean. Most people that I know are in park. If you're listening to this podcast, you're in drive, but most of you guys need to step on the gas.
Yeah.
Right? You need to hit the accelerator and get excited about what you're doing and passionate about what you're doing. And guys, that comes with belief. And when you have belief, there's so much power in it. And you can move mountains. You can go and do things that were not possible, but they are possible once you believe.
Oh man, that's a mic drop right there. If my mic wasn't attached to a boom, I'd drop it. But man, it's so true. Mindset is 90% of it. I didn't start having success until I actually got over the analysis paralysis and just really took action. Yeah, it's going to be scary, 100%. Sometimes it's still scary, but you just got to put one foot in front of the other and just realize the people you're talking to, whether it's you're nervous about calling a broker, you're nervous about raising money, hiring people, firing people, at the end of the day, they're all people. They all have similar fears and worries to you. and you just got to get over it. If you really want it, you just got to do it. And that's what's given me a lot of success. And I'll credit Corey. He showed me the way and he showed me that it was possible for anyone. You don't have to be special. You don't have to be come from a certain family, right? You don't have to have a certain amount of money or experience. It just takes heart and drive and dedication. So thank you, my friend.
Amen to that, brother. I'm super excited about the process and the whole trajectory, dude. You're doing great. It's a lot of fun watching you succeed and succeed well, my friend.
Thank you. Listeners, as always, easy doesn't pay well and instant gratification is self-destructive. So not only get out there and work hard for your money, but have it work hard for you so we can all create the lives of our dreams, just like Corey's sunsets and palm trees. Because at the end of the day, when we do that, we can make the world a better place. All right, everybody, catch you on the next one.
Hey, this is Sean Winslow. After being in the financial service industry for years and having candid conversations with good people just like you, I realized that so many of us are wanting an investment strategy that provides solid returns and consistent income without the bumps in the road. There's little known secret that your financial advisor doesn't want you to know. There is investment out there that is less volatile and the returns are stronger. Get more details by going to greenbriercg.com and clicking on the free e-report. And by the way, if this show has provided you any value, then feel free to leave an honest written review and of course, share it with a friend who needs it. See you next week for another great show.